The Florida community of mindfulness is happy to make these talks available to you. If you find this talk to be a benefit, please consider making a donation to support us. You'll find a donation button on the talks section of our website, floridamindfulness.org. Thank you, and may you be happy and free of suffering.
So good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming. So this morning I wanted to share with you just a little one-line verse that has a lot in it. So I'm taking this from, and for those of you who are not a part of our community or know what our community, for members we have a lot of activities, such as we have these what we call intensives, where for 3, 6 months or a year, people who join the intensive look at some aspect of practice, of study, and make commitments to really work it for 3, 6 months a year, whatever it is, meditation, study. We have groups, all kinds of ways to support people. And right now I'm involved with, I think, close to 70 people in our community. With looking at this text called mind trainings, and they are a set of teachings that came to Tibet from India, so they're based in Indian Buddhism, brought to Tibet by a great teacher named Atisha, who over time passed them on to his students. And they were based on originally 7 verses, and then each of those verses then were developed these very pith, shorter sayings, slogans. And they're really a very rich way of taking like this corpus of teachings and practice that we call Buddhism and putting it in a very clear, very simple and accessible text of just pith sayings. And the 7 points are, just very simply, first, the preliminaries, which teach support for Dharma. Second, the actual practice, training in bodhicitta. Bodhicitta is the enlightened mind. 3, the transformation of adverse conditions into the path of awakening. 4, the utilization of the practice in one's whole life. 5, the extent of proficiency in mind training. 6, commitments of mind training. 7, for guidelines of mind training. And actually right now, the intensive group is in the second section called the actual practice, training in the enlightened mind. Which has 2 sections. One is called Ultimate Enlightened Mind, which is sort of the unconditioned, sort of the deeper aspect of the nature of our enlightened mind, and then what's called the Relative, or the kind of, and most of these trainings are very practical, very real world oriented. But just to give you a sense, in the Ultimate Bodhicitta, the first slogan is, regard all phenomena as dreams. 2nd is, examine the nature of unborn awareness. Rest in the nature of all, the basis of everything. So, as you can see, one-liners, but quite profound, and need a lot of explanation. But I'm going to skip over what's called the relative bodhicitta, which really are teachings that train us in how to really be a compassionate person and how to really deal with suffering, one's own suffering and the suffering of others. But just for today, since I think it's so important, I want to share with you this line, and then hopefully have time at the end to discuss it. And this line reads, when evil fills the world and its inhabitants, change adverse conditions into the path of awakening. Let me just read it again. When evil fills the world and its inhabitants, change adverse conditions into the path of awakening. So for those of you who think, who are concerned or upset because there seems to be so much quote-unquote evil in the world today, know that this text is thousands of years old. So evil in the world and adverse conditions are nothing new in human history. I say that not to give us a pass, but to understand, because I think everybody thinks that whatever they're going through individually or whatever we think we're going through collectively is the worst it could be or is something very new. But unfortunately, the human condition has been around as long as there have been human beings. So in that sense, nothing is new. When evil fills the world and its inhabitants, change adverse conditions into the path of awakening. Evil is a strong word. It's really not a Buddhist word. So these are translators. It means when the world is just filled with dissatisfaction, when the world is filled with suffering. Both the suffering and the dissatisfaction of the collective, but as well as individually, which means our own. And so we live in a world. And again, when I say the world, it doesn't mean the collective world and the big picture of the world, but also each one of us live in a world. We live in a collective world, and we have to deal with collective social problems, environmental problems, but each of us also live in our own individual world, right? Our own personal world. And, adverse conditions basically mean something that we consider adverse is something that we don't want to happen, don't think should be happening, shouldn't be there in life, our life, other people's life. It's really about our perception that something is adverse, is negative. Something, again, that prevents us from being the way we want, living the way we want, getting in the way of our goals, our objectives, whether it's personal or for the world, right? We continually run into what we would call adverse conditions. And it's also on a day-to-day basis, right? I mean, things just don't go our way. And when things don't go our way, from the smallest thing, the smallest inconveniences of traffic or getting put on hold or just do all the things that unfold during the day, at home, at work. When things don't go our way, we call that aversive, don't we? We don't like that. We don't think it should be happening. And it upsets us. It frustrates us, right? It can even irritate or anger us. It can sadden us. It can worry us. So this whole thing of adversity, and adversity being just in life, is very human. I mean, everybody just kind of nod your head. Everybody know what I'm talking about. So adversity. Right. Now, usually, most of us, when we encounter adversity, something negative, in our own personal life, in the life of people around us, or in the life of the world, we see that as what? Something that's getting in the way of our happiness. Something that's getting in the way or an obstacle to us achieving what we want to achieve. Right, so our response to adversity, to obstacles, to challenges, you know, physical challenges, we get sick, we get ill, we have a disease, I mean, emotional challenges, relationship challenges, our response to that is usually negative because we perceive whatever's going on as aversive. Aversive means, how do I get this away from me? Or how do I get away from it? But one way or the other, aversive means we want to move away from. Right? It's the opposite of being something positive. When something's positive, then we want to what? We want to move toward it. We want to get closer to it. We want to have more of it. But something that we perceive as aversive, whatever it is something we don't want, we don't like. And that whole process of not wanting, not liking, seeing things aversive causes us to be emotionally dissatisfied. And again, and have afflictive emotions depending on how aversive it, you know, we think it is. Okay? Does that sound normal? All right. So, when evil fills the world and its inhabitants, change adverse conditions into the path of awakening. So, what is a path of awakening? So, and again, he's writing this for people who are on the Buddhist path, but in the Buddhist path, a path of awakening is meaning I want to awaken myself to all, I mean, it has many meanings, but one thing it could mean is, you know, I want to awaken my mind to all the positive and wholesome qualities of mind. I want to be awake. So, and we think, if how does an awakened person live? Well, they're loving, they're compassionate, they're patient, they're generous, they're understanding, they have clarity. I mean, there's all kinds of, you know, they have a deep awareness of how things are. They're very present. So there are many qualities that each of us may bring to the idea of what does it mean to be an awakened person. What does that mean to me? Right? So again, in Buddhism it has very specific meaning, but not everyone here may be a Buddhist or interested in that. But it means like, if you thought about yourself as the most awakened, most enlightened, what would that look like? How would you be? Right? Now, the path of awakening is the path that gets you there. Right? The path we walk in life to get to this place where we consider I am awakening or I am more awakened. My heart is awakened. My mind is awakened. This is the path. These are the things I'm doing to get there. Now, usually we think the things that'll get me there are the good things in life, right? Like coming to Sangha. See, this is good. Everybody's quiet. Right? You know, nobody's disturbing me. There's no loud noises. There's no rude this. You know, everybody's complying. I mean, it's not like some people are stretched out, you know, and listening to their phones. You know what I mean? It's like, this is, for most of us, we would not say this is pretty good. Thank God all those aversive things I have in my life and home aren't here. I can come to Sangha on Sunday, get away from all that aversity, which is getting in the way of my spiritual practice. Right? Wow, thank God I have this. This will help me develop. Right? But there's a problem with that, isn't it? If we take only good things, good environment, good conditions as the path for our awakening, there are two things. One thing is there is adversity in the world. Things do not work our way, personally, interpersonally, and in terms of the whole world, right? So adversity is not, see, many people consider adversity, things not going my way, things not turning out the way I want, as something wrong, right? There's something wrong because there's, you know, there are problems, you know, think there's adversity, adverse conditions in my life, rather than thinking, no. I mean, this is, we'll just take a little unscientific sample. How many people have had adversity in their life? How many people right now look around and say, yeah, I do have some adversity in my life right now? All right. So that would, based on that, we would say what? Adversity is normal because everybody has it. And yet our relationship to adversity is often like, I can't believe this is happening. Or this shouldn't be happening. Or I don't want it to happen. You see, there's a kind of irrationality in that. A kind of looking at life as if only, you know, half of it should be present in life and the other half should not be present. Or if I'm really working my program, I can really get it all out. And some people believe that. If I just get my mind, positive thinking, affirmations, if I can just project all that, everything will work for me. Right? That's crazy. Because as everybody pointed out, adversity is normal. Things not working out is normal. Not getting my way is normal. So rather than doing all this work to manipulate and control ourselves and the world and the people around us to get all the adversity out, get all the adverse people out, get all the adverse situations out, you know, get them all out. If I could only get the people elected to Congress that I want, and if I could actually have that done in every country in the world, right, then what? Then I can be happy, and I can be relaxed, and I can be a kind person and an open person. But, you know, everything's got to change first. Everybody around me's got to change. I could be a compassionate, understanding person if everybody around me would, you know, just would kind of be the way I want them to be. Huh? Can you see there's something like fundamentally flawed with that way of looking at life? And yet that is the way we operate, unfortunately. And it causes problems. It causes problems within our own well-being and our own development, and it causes problems with others. If we have this kind of aversive response to adversity. Which we do not have to positive things in life. Right? When positive things happen to us, when people are acting the way we want and treating us the way we want and the world is happening the way we want, we are what? Happy. See? I told you I could be a happy person. As long as things are going my way. But then when things aren't going my way, I go the other way. So, change adverse conditions into the path of awakening. This is, you know, it's very simple but very profound. That's why I say these are just one-liners, but there's a lot packed in them. So, this is like a whole reorientation of our mind and how we look and relate to the world. And more specifically, into this very common part of the world, which we label as aversive. Right? We change our relationship to what we're labeling aversive people or conditions or situations. We no longer see them as aversive, we see them as part of the path of my awakening. So people, we can't develop to become the kind of person we want to be if we don't have real situations to deal with. Or else our spiritual life, our meditative life, our religious life, whatever you want to call it, is going on in some sort of altered universe. You see, and many of us practice in an altered universe, right? And in our altered universe, you know what? We're pretty good. Right? You know, as long as everything's going my way and I have my conditions and everything's under control, boy, I can be very calm, and peaceful mind, and happy mind. I can be very loving, and I can be very patient, I can be very generous. You know what I'm saying? It's all until we get into the real world, until we encounter adversity. And then when we encounter adversity, aversive people, then we finally have an opportunity to develop those qualities in, we might say, in real time. It doesn't mean the practice on the cushion, the study, the contemplation, the reflection is not preparing you. But where do we develop that muscle? Only when it's challenged, only when we got to work it. Right? So every situation in life that we would consider aversive, which causes us to be impatient, frustrated, irritated, again, everybody know what I'm talking about? Well, if your goal in life is to be a frustrated, irritated human being, then these are great opportunities to develop those skills. But if you're living your life with a bigger picture of what life is about, path of awakening, path of transformation, then the way we relate to those situations are not as opportunities to, again, cultivate irritation, anger, frustration, you know, which is what we're cultivating a lot all day. We no longer want to do that. We want to cultivate the opposite. Patience, understanding, acceptance of things as they are. Right? I mean, does that sound like something that maybe you think about I need to do more of? Well, where are we going to do it if not in real-life situations with real-life people who irritate us, with situations that frustrate us, you know, when things are not going our way? You know, that's real time. That's real life. That's aversive conditions. And that is our opportunity to use those conditions to help us along the path of awakening. Does anybody have had the thought, I'd like to be a little more open-hearted. I'd like my mind just to be a little more open to all kinds of people. Even perhaps we even want to say, even the people we live with and closest, our family or whatever. We say, yeah, I'd like to be more loving, more understanding, more compassionate, more patient. Anybody ever have those kinds of thoughts? Okay, just checking. well, you know, here's the opportunity. You know, the opportunity is not going to happen in, again, some astral plane of love and compassion and understanding. It's going to happen with people who are a challenge to us. I mean, to open my heart to people who my heart is already open to, right? Or to open my heart to people who love me, who are meeting my needs, who treat me well, that's easy. Right? You don't need a spiritual practice for that. I mean, even the most egocentric, narcissistic person will love people who meet their needs. Right? I mean, that's easy. But we develop the muscle of love and understanding with those people that are not easy to love, that we don't want to understand. You see, we have walls. I don't want to understand that person. I want to be angry at him. What? Yeah, I much prefer to be angry than to be understanding. Oh, but I thought it says here that in a spiritual path of awakening, becoming a more understanding, loving person is kind of what it's about. Oh, so let me get this straight. What this says in the book somehow relates to this person over here that I don't like or don't love or irritates me or drives me nuts or I don't want to be in the world or I think they should be dead. Oh. You see the connection and how we don't make the connection? So, because we don't make the connection, thousands of years ago, they came up with this slogan, change adverse conditions into the path of awakening. Adverse people that we are averse to, they are our path to awakening. To again, awaken what? Awaken to our understanding. You know, when you, it's not, you know, Thich Nhat Hanh says, love is understanding. When you understand who someone is, the causes and conditions that have caused them to be who they are, and understand they cannot be anything else than what they are right now, then you are loving them. Because you're not in opposition to them. You're not judging them. You're not evaluating. You don't want them to be different than they are. Most of us love in that way. I will love you if you become the person I want you to be. I will love you if you stay being the person I want you to be. You see? That's not real love. That's conditional. Again, we pick and choose who we want to understand. We don't want to understand people we don't like, do we? No. People we don't agree with. We don't want to understand that they're, just like me, a product of their causes and conditions. Just like, you know, if I grew up with their parents in their home, lived their life exactly as it is, I'd be them. How many of us think that way? With that kind of humility, of understanding everyone is just a product of their causes and conditions. Right? Everyone, just like me. So when you understand that, you realize it is exactly those situations and people that we have the most adverse response to are the ones that are the means to us really developing into a person that really is understanding, really is compassionate, really is loving, but not in this very egocentric way that we do it, which is really all about me. Right? I like people what? That agree with me. Right? I like people who see the world the same way I do. Ooh, people who don't see the world the way I do, I don't like them. Right? I mean, we even do that to family members, don't we? They're not the way we want them to be. And they may see us, you know, we're not the way, you know, they want us to be. And you can see the suffering and the pain that we cause each other. Because that unwillingness to begin with acknowledging, yes, I do have aversion to lots of things and people and situations. But I understand that if I am following a path of healing and transformation and awakening, I must use all these aversive responses to life and people and situations as a means of my transformation. And then a very strange thing begins to happen. You begin to, in a strange way, not only acknowledge, but really kind of elevate these situations and people to go, oh, that was great. You know, that gave me an opportunity to really practice what? Whatever you're practicing. Right? I mean, I can't tell you how often people use the examples of, you know, irritation, anger, frustration in terms of traffic. Right? Now, I know nobody in this room would do that. But it's like, you know, if we're rational for a moment, has anybody ever been caught in traffic in this room? All right. More than once. Could happen almost any day driving in Tampa on 270, right? All right. So, is traffic normal? Right? Is traffic a normal part of life of driving around in an urban area? We all agree. And yet, what happens when we get in traffic? It's like, I can't believe this. Now, why can't we? It's not only can we not believe it, but we're frustrated and angry and irritated because why? Because somebody like me doesn't deserve to be in traffic. Everybody should what? Get out of my way. Right? You see, that's, and so we get irritated, angered, frustrated. I got somewhere I got to get to. And you know what? Very important. That I get there when I want to get there. We are not concerned about the other thousands of people who are also in this traffic, are we? We actually see them as part of the problem. Change adversity into the path of awakening. See our own egocentricity, our own irrationality, that is fueling our irritation, anger, and then what? Relax. Use this opportunity as a way of deepening your understanding. Yeah, things don't work in this world. You know, a bunch of people come together at a certain time. Yeah, they create traffic. People get in accidents. We get into accidents, right? If it was us who caused an accident that's now causing the traffic, we would want what? To be met with hatred and rage? We would want to be met with what? Compassion or understanding. When it's us, but when it's somebody else, it's like, God. Can't these people learn how to drive, you know? So, even these little things, these little aversive things help us develop understanding, compassion, patience. And those are just the little, you know, people. You know, many of us go through our day life irritated by other people. Anybody ever, you don't have to raise your hand on this one. Have you noticed that people irritate you, right? Even people, I mean, the interesting thing is even people that we say we love, they often irritate us the most. Now, how can that be? That we see what they're doing or not doing, how they are, how they aren't, as something aversive, something I don't want to be happening, something that I want removed or to get away from. And that's all because I label whatever's going on, not consciously, aversive, negative. Now, what if I took the same situation, the same person, whatever they're doing and not doing, and use whatever was happening, which originally caused me aversion, a momentary aversion, and rather than going down the path of, cultivating afflictive emotion and egocentricity, if we remember that we're walking a path of awakening or healing or transformation, if I go, oh, I wonder what's going on with them. I wonder what's going on with them. I wonder what it is within them that supports whatever they're doing or not doing. Right? That's called understanding. A willingness to understand the person or the situation. And in that moment, we are cultivating understanding, deep looking, rather than what we're usually cultivating, which is shallowness and egocentricity and aversive thinking. So all the moments of our life, you know, we can't see our spiritual transformation as something like big. You know, we like it big. You see, you know, I'm working on being a more compassionate person. I'm doing these practices. I'm working on being a more loving person. I'm doing these practices. I'm working on being, you know what I mean? We're like doing all these practices. And then there's life. And somehow we forget that really our practice should be unfolding in life. And that if we're doing meditative practice, analytical practice, study practice, it is only for one purpose. Not so we can have conversations with other people about the practice of compassion and loving kindness, but that we can become that kind of person. How do we become that kind of person? By doing it. What? And what helps us raise the bar? Those kind of people. Those kinds of situations. There's no other way. Or else it's like a spiritual window dressing. Right? It's like, they say like spiritual wallpaper, you know. It just covers up the cracks in the wall. Just put some pretty wallpaper over it. So we have to be careful that we just don't put some pretty spiritual stuff over us to cover up the cracks. How do we know we have cracks? Because we have all this aversive people helping us to see our cracks. Right? I mean, I can't tell how many people have said, gee, you know, I really don't consider myself an angry person at all. Until this person showed up in my life. You know. As if I'm somehow, that person is the cause of my anger. No. That person helped me discover that I have the seeds of anger inside me still. It just takes the right person, the right situation, and all of a sudden I realize, what? Wow. I still have a lot of anger in me. Right? I still have a lot of different things. We think we're generous people, but we only realize our generosity is very controlled, very strategic. It's only when we're pushed a little bit to give of our time, our energy, our abilities, our money, that we realize, oh no, I'm quite generous with myself. That's really who I'm most generous, right? I always make sure that my needs are met, right? I always make sure that I get all the things that I need, have the life that I want, you know. So we're very good at practicing generosity with ourselves. But how often do we parcel it out? How do we become more open in our capacity just to give? By those situations where we're challenged, where we don't want to, where we'd rather not, where we hold back. Those are the opportunities we have to develop generosity in a wider sense. And this really applies, again, to everything that we're trying to develop. So, again, it's a very radical change when we begin to see aversive people, aversive situations, aversive incidences, negative, 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 as opportunities for transformation and are the best helpers. Positive situations are not necessarily the best helpers for our development. They're too easy. There's a saying in Buddhism which says, when things are going well in the world, everybody looks like a great spiritual practitioner. It's only when things aren't going well in life that you really see who's a real spiritual practitioner and who isn't. Right? And if we look at ourselves, we may see the truth of that, right? Yeah, that I'm sort of good up to a point. But get me in certain kinds of situations, circumstances, people, and I'm a very different person. Now, we might want to stay with that, split or that uneven development within ourselves. Many people have sort of an uneven development. We want to say, no, I want this to be much more consistent. Right? I want to be a loving, kind, generous, patient person in all my circumstances, in all my dealings. The ones that people can see, and the ones that only I see. Right? A consistency. Let me just stop here, because I know the children, it's a family program today, but this is kind of big, and it could be that there are questions about this, or somebody wants to challenge this. If you haven't been here before, you're welcome to do anything. But let me take some questions. And because this is being live streamed for members, I'll repeat the question. So it just means keep it sort of brief so I can remember it.
So in life, I find experience-wise, most people that originally find adverse, if you show generosity and patience and understanding and look for the causes and conditions, most of those people are not so adverse anymore, and actually you can develop.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So let me just summarize. Okay. So the question is, I sort of get it, and I kind of I'm trying to do my best, but yet, and sometimes changing the way I relate to a situation or person does sort of change things, or change them, or changes a relationship, but sometimes it doesn't. I still don't really like them. Right? Yeah, that's okay. Right.
And so that I
right.
don't have to be, that I can have peace. They don't alter my peace anymore, but I still don't.
Well, again, you know, like, dislike. Yeah. So we don't, again, love is understanding. You know, some people think, oh, you know, if you're really a developed person, you love everybody. A lot of people. Really hard to love, right? I mean, from that point of view, you know, to have warm kind of, you know, it doesn't really work, does it? No, some people are not easy, but we can understand everybody. We can respect everybody. See, it's a different kind of outcome, right? I think that's, I mean, we are who we are. We all have our causes and conditions. And right, it's not like, again, like somebody spreading the fairy dust all over the world and now everybody's happy and I love everyone. And, you know, that's not the world, is it? It's a mixed bag, this world. Right? And there are many people that are kind of easy to love. And there are many people who are not easy to love. And there are many people who are, you know, quite difficult. Why? Because they're in a lot of suffering and pain, which causes them to act and show up in the world, you know, in a very painful way. So it makes it even hard to be around them, right? Because of their toxicity, their anger. So it doesn't mean that there's no common sense or intelligence in how we operate in the world, but it means it's not aversive. See, aversive, in Buddhism, you know, when they use the word aversion, it means I want to either push them away or I want to get away, but I have, it's aversive. It's and we want to be able to engage with the world. We want to engage, be able to engage with all kinds of people in the world. Right? Or how is the world ever going to be transformed? Right? And so we want to be able to connect with people in some kind of authentic way. And it, you know, this whole like-dislike thing is really fairly superficial. Because, I mean, how many people here sort of might have disliked somebody, but then they got to know them or they did a nice thing for you and all of a sudden you like them? Anybody ever find that happen? Yeah, happens all the time, right? And anybody ever find somebody they liked all of a sudden did something, they didn't like them anymore? Anybody ever? So what does that tell you about this whole like and dislike thing? It's fairly superficial. It's really, again, based on sort of what's happening. You know, they treat me nice, I like them. They treat me not nice, I don't like them. Right? They do what I want, I like them. They don't do what I want, I don't like them. Right? And that can keep changing. Right? I mean, we can be with people in our life, right, and we dislike them. Then all of a sudden they do something a little nice for us. We go, well, maybe they're not that bad after all. Maybe I misjudged them. Right? So we want to get deeper than that. Get out of this, you know, liking, disliking, and really sort of connect with people at a deeper level, which is the level of understanding, the level of compassion. They suffer. I mean, only somebody who was suffering would do that, would act like that, would say things like that. And that could also be people, you know, we live with and people we're close to. You know, they're suffering right now. And their response to suffering is usually compassion. No, it doesn't mean that necessarily you can do anything about it. Maybe there is, but at least your heart is open, even if you have to stay away from them, right? For kind of strategic reasons, you have to stay away from them. At the same time, you don't have to dislike them or hate them. You can say, yeah, they're suffering. They're just lost in their causing conditions and can't find the way out. So we still stay connected in a positive way. Are there other questions or challenges about this taking adverse conditions into the path of awakening? I mean, think about your life. We got a few minutes, 6 minutes. Think about your life. Is this anybody? Yeah, can figure out how this could be a little challenging? Yes. Why is it? So let me just. So there's somebody in your life, family member. Your senses, they distort reality, and they never stop talking.
Yes.
Okay. I'm surprised you said you're confused. It sounds like you got. sounds like you're pretty clear about how they operate in the world. Really? This person's your mother. Well, oh, she's not listening, is she? Well, again. Yeah. So again, but listen to what you said. You said, obviously she's somebody you have a long-term relationship with. It's not like a brief encounter, and you have a sense. This is a woman who lives in her own. I mean, when you say she distorts reality, her picture of reality is different than yours. All right? I mean, that's really what's going on. I mean, she just, you know, it's like she sees reality her way. And to you, it doesn't look like what your reality is or how reality is. But in her, but that's her reality, isn't it? It's her reality. She thinks her reality is true, and she likes to go on and on about it. Right? Yeah, so I would say, on the one hand, you cultivate understanding. You understand, again, if you had had her childhood and all her experiences and had her, et cetera, you would be just like her. You understand. You take a moment to look at the causes and conditions that have created her. See, we turn people into cartoon characters as if like they sprang from, it's like all of a sudden this, crazy monologue woman has shown up in my life. No. Causes and conditions nurtured her over the years that brought her to where she is today. And when you understand that, at least you have understanding. Remember, our path was a path of understanding and compassion. Two, is she suffering? Even though she doesn't maybe not think so. When you look at her, is she a happy woman? At ease, open, happy in life? You don't know. But I asked you a question. Based on your own person, what? Yeah. She seemed to you like a happy person when you listen to her talk. Does she talk happy? She's happy with life. She's happy with herself. She's happy with people. Good. So she's happy. Okay. But she's got these, in her own world, she's happy. And she distorts her world so she can be happy. Yeah, okay. That's who she is. Right? It seems like you're clear. Right? You understand her. Can you accept that this is the way she is? Well, you can't try. You either do or you don't. Okay. So that, all right. But that's where we got to get to, because we play this game like we, oh, well, I know I should. I really know I should. If I was a really good person, if I was really a good Buddhist, I should really. But the truth is, you're saying when you get down to it, well, of course you don't accept her. Because if you accepted her, it wouldn't be a problem. Right? You see, so we have to see where the problem is. I can go through all her characteristics, but I still want her to be different. You know, well, that we have to give that one up because we don't rule the world. Which is another one of these things we have to come to terms with at some point. I don't rule the world. I can't run the world. I can't run everybody else. There may be people, I mean, this is hard to believe. There may be people who don't like me. Right? You know, that's very humbling for many of us. Or like a great, you know, wow, somebody may find me a little obnoxious. But we would hope that the world would meet us with understanding, right? He can't help it. He's a product of his causes and conditions. Okay. Now, having said all that, right, which is all helps us change that aversive situation into something that allows you to cultivate understanding, compassion, acceptance, right? These are your spiritual practices. We're still left with the very real choice of, like was just said, you know, how can I deal with her? She's not easy to deal with, right? So that's a strategic. You know, like, I mean, I used to have somebody in my family, you know, when I talked to them, you know, I'd kind of take the phone and I'd kind of hold it out here and, you know, do whatever I was doing. And every 5 minutes I'd go back, you know, I'd say something like, oh, that's good, you know. And then usually, you know, after 20 or 30 minutes, I'd kind of run out. Right? I mean, that was... Yeah, but according to what? There's nobody watching you. You know, if this is who she is and this is what she likes doing and you know she's not amenable to change and she's your mother and you got to, you know, and she loves to get on the phone and talk. Right? So that's a very nice thing you're doing. You're making her happy. But you don't have to, you know, torture yourself listening to these monologues, do you? I mean, unless you found them interesting. Yeah, I mean, right? You know. Yeah, I mean, that's what, you know, on the phone they have these loudspeaker functions. You know, just put on speaker and you can kind of do whatever you need to do. Do the dishes, do take care, you know. Every now and then check in. Right? I mean, it's easy life. Don't make it hard. There are all kinds of people in it. Some are, you know, the way we like them to be, but most aren't. Have you noticed that? You know what I mean? I mean, most people are not the way we individually like people to be. Right? Because we're just one person, and we have our own cause and conditions, so we have kind of, but the world is vast, and people in it are just all over the place. That's just the way it is, isn't it? So rather than being at war with the world or fighting or resisting, just accept everyone as they are. But also deal, you know, intelligently. Right? You don't pet rabid dogs. Right? No. It's like you don't hate them, but you understand, yeah, you don't pet rabid. Or you don't pet dogs that bite. Right? Do you? Doesn't mean they have to be shot. Right? But, you know, they need a good leash. And we need to be careful when we're around them. Right? That's all. It doesn't have to be emotional. It doesn't have to be, it's just, you know, we see how people are. And we work with them as they are.